Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here for the virtual Uper.
And there's your intro.
There we go. Almost live from across the USA, this is Late Night Kermit! Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, Marty, and Michael, the virtual Kermit. We monitor the monster blizzard of the century. Is FaceTube hogging all your media data? And now, digitally gathering to marathon watch Robert Dyer videos on YouTube.
That seemed to be just a regular pickle. Now we got this biscuit, but soaked with the wonderful juices from this Nashville hot chicken. I'm going to dedicate this bite to Glenn Fry, who just passed away today, unfortunately.
Here's Joel, Barry, Marty, and Michael! Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM show number 205 from the not-so-snowy Monadnock region of southwest New Hampshire. I am Barry J.
And from south-central New Hampshire, where it is equally not snowy, this is Joel.
And from the Tug Hill Plateau, this is Marty, who's got about 4 or 5 feet of snow on the ground.
Yep, Marty, it's the be-like Bob syndrome. And this is Michael, the virtual Uber, in the backseat of the family truckster somewhere just north of Iron Mountain, Michigan, heading back to Copper Harbor, where we had only, Saturday, about 27 inches of snow. That didn't make national news. Never mind.
Now let me get this right. How much snow do you think you have on the ground right now, Michael? We already heard Barty's got about 4 feet of snow on the ground.
Yeah, we're between 4 and 5. It's been a light winter for us.
And you're driving in it.
Yeah, well, we had almost 3 feet of snow last Saturday.
Okay.
Life didn't end.
That's good, because, and when we get to Days of Our Lives, that'll be the first thing we talk about. So,
okay. But
until then, let's see what everybody's drinking tonight.
Now everybody's died, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink and drink and drink. And then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light. Then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then we'll drink in once again.
Michael, you're first on the list.
So, yes, I have the very exciting beverage, since I'm sitting in the back seat of the family truckster, of cold black coffee. It is the leftover coffee I had from the Comfort Suites this morning. It's been sitting in the truck, cooling down to a nice, refreshing temperature.
So that would be, I would add the adjective stale to that also, since it was from this morning. Uh-oh. Okay, we started the show. Michael's breaking up.
Exactly. Of course he is.
Unbelievable. Crystal clear, right up to when he gets ready to say something.
Okay, how's that?
You're getting better. You're still crackly.
Can you hear me now?
A little bit.
Ah, crap. Carry on.
Alright. Well, I will tell you that I am drinking tonight a Poland Springs Bubbly Raspberry flavored water. Because I've had a slight headache all day, and I think I'm dehydrated, so I decided not to add alcohol on top of the dehydration.
That's why you put ice in the alcohol.
All right.
And as I said in the past shows, this is the first bottled water, I believe, in North America. Poland Springs.
Oh, really?
Yes, there's a history there. Look it up.
Wow. You know, it's filtered bear urine. From Maine.
Yeah, but I heard it's from the parking lot at Poland Springs.
It's like from their parking lot goes into the spring.
It's like down, you know, they have Monadnock Mountain, spring water. And yes. If you know where the Monadnock Mountain spring water facility is, it's nowhere near Monadnock Mountain.
Yep.
So I figured
Springs actually has a shrine to their first spring that they used to draw the water out of.
Ah, now they just take tap water, right, and filter it.
No, that's Dasani.
Yes, it is. It actually is.
They run it through an RO system.
Yeah.
Tap water from the town of Ayer. And run it through an RO system for its local tap water run through a reverse osmosis.
Mm. And I got to say that I'm sure that the Merrimack River, which is right across the street from where I work, must be crystal pristine water because the Budweiser Brewery is right across the street from where I work.
Yep.
And they pull water right out of the Merrimack. So yeah, it's got to be good.
When I was a kid, brewery was built, and our big joke was that we had to drink Budweiser to give them back their beer.
Great. Well, Joel, you're next.
Oh, yes. Well, I am having a Lemmy with a touch of grenadine. So, for those who don't know, the official name of Jack and Coke has been changed to a Lemmy.
A Lemmy?
Cool.
That's awesome.
By who?
That's awesome.
Food and Wine Magazine.
Yeah.
And then it was recognized by the Michelin Restaurant Star thing and National Bartenders Association of America. Now called Jack and Coke's a Lemmy.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Wow. Very good. I learned something. See, you learned something on Late Night QRM. And Marty. Oh, sorry.
I'm having my usual brandy.
All right. And we'll get into, and since I haven't played the theme for a while, Days of Our Lives.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
Everybody, sing along, please. Very nice.
Hey, Barry?
Yeah?
I've got a breaking news story here, and it was reminded to, it's an old breaking news story, but Joel actually reminded me of this. So I brought up, you brought up Poland Springs. I brought up that being the first bottled water in North America that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
And then Joel brought up Dasani.
Mm-hmm.
And that brought up a headline to a lawsuit that still isn't officially dead. But let me read the headline. Pepsi faces $1.26 billion judgment after secretary loses letter.
What?
Now, that's something that will get a company's attention, right?
Yeah.
Because they were served a summons, and the secretary received it, threw it in a drawer, and lost it. So Pepsi never knew that they were supposed to show up in court.
Oh, really?
Whoops.
Now, I don't want to go into the great details here, but the person's one of the people suing Pepsi, and you can look this up online. Just look up Pepsi $1.26 billion judgment. The person suing Pepsi is actually one of my closest personal friends.
You're kidding.
And he hasn't been awarded the money yet, so you can't say I'm a money grubber. I've known this guy forever. We've been in several businesses together.
Wow.
But he actually is going after Pepsi for recovering monetary funds for something he did for them a long time ago in a meeting they had. And he wasn't looking for that kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
He was just kind of looking to recoup his expenses with him and his partner.
Yeah.
And the judge got so incensed that Pepsi never even bothered to show up, because my friends have a good case that they were the ones that came up with the original idea for Dasani and presented it to Pepsi.
Huh. Wow.
And, but, and there's a really long, drawn-out story after that, because you're talking about two guys from Wisconsin against Pepsi.
Wow.
All right.
And, of course,
there's a little difference in legal resources, you know, on each side.
Yeah, we probably won't. Exactly. We probably haven't heard the end of this yet. I'm sure they'll be contesting this. And
Pepsi has been contesting. Let me blow out. My friend hasn't seen any money yet.
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny. An interesting thing to bring up, and it was all because Joel brought up the sign.
Well, I personally hate that stuff.
I don't think I've ever drinking
bottled water.
No, I drink bottled water sometimes. Actually,
you just don't go after the designer stuff
at Evil Corp, which I like. Then the company that shall not be named. Thank you, Joel. at Evil Corp, they actually put in these water fountains that also have filtered. Filtering systems in them now, and you can refill water bottles. So I have a water bottle that I just go out to the water fountain and get nice cold filtered water, which is basically the same thing as Dasani.
No, I'm convinced Dasani takes a copper pipe and then dips it in the vat and leaves it there for a week, then dispenses it in its little bottles. And it's the nastiest tasting, most metallic, chemically shit water I've ever had.
Shh, be careful, Joel. If Pepsi's getting sued by that amount of money, they might be looking to recoup some of that money by suing other people.
That chance. Good luck.
Going after the vast resources of QRM. Okay, Pepsi, wait a minute. Wait for us to sue Late Night first. We'll go after Late Night so they can pay us for the logo. And
yeah,
there we go.
Exactly.
All right, so we get to... Oh, wait a minute. Let me see if I can get ready for this. I'm gonna find it. Where the hell did they go?
Who are you calling a Dago?
do you want us to sing this, too? No. We can shout it.
I gotta find it. Do I have it? I do. Here we go. It only took, I don't know, how long did we waste there? Okay. Of course, the big story is the dreaded Monster Blizzard of the Century! Bread, milk, and toilet paper! Bread, milk, and toilet paper! As you know, as you're all aware, Washington, D.C., and north up through, I don't think it quite made it to Boston. They might be getting some snow, but Washington, D.C., Philadelphia area, New York City are all being blasted with the... Oh, let's see if I can put some echo in this thing. Let's see. The
reverb.
The... Where the hell is it? Oh. Monster Blizzard of the Century!
Century.
I don't know whether that echoes.
Century.
Well, I turned it down.
There's your echo.
Okay, good enough.
Shut up.
I'm turning the wrong knob. Okay, whoop. Uh-oh, we lost Michael, didn't we?
No, I'm here.
Oh, it got quiet.
That's because we slowed down.
Oh, okay. All right, so anyway... they are getting, let's see. As they said, we're expecting the monster blizzard of the century. Everyone, shelter in place. When the hell did they start using shelter in place for a snowstorm? I mean, before it was always, yes, there's a blizzard coming. Stay home. If you don't have to go out, stay off the roads, please. And that was what you got. But now we're sheltering in place because of the monster blizzard storm, which they named. I forget what the name is now.
Jonas?
Fluffy.
Jonas, like yes, I think it was. Fluffy?
I like Fluffy better.
That's good.
Fluffy. Now, they are got I didn't see the latest totals, but they were expecting up to 2 feet of snow. That's 24 inches, okay, for you and I. And this is the worst blizzard they've had in 90 years. I call bullshit because I lived in Virginia for 14 years, and there were a few times where we had 36-inch totals. 30-inch totals, it wasn't... It's not their largest.
Well, I love the way spin doctor that they're putting on it with this storm of the century is going to affect 85 million people. Well, that's because they live there.
Yeah,
and you know, anything to make a number sound bigger.
Oh yeah, and I don't blame the weatherman. I blame the news services that are reporting on this.
They're dying for ratings. That's what it is.
It's incredible. Incredible, the stories that are going on there. And that's why I had to ask Barty, who lives in the middle of New York's upstate New York, where he gets lake effect snows. Michael, who lives in the middle of one of Lake Superior.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yep, right in the middle. It's on a pontoon.
Yeah. And and so, you know, I just, you know, as Barty said, he's got 4 feet on the ground now. He will have at least 4 feet on the ground until March or maybe April.
Yeah, more like April.
Michael, yeah. A couple years ago, how much snow did you get in the harbor?
Just a year ago, we had 6 feet on the ground in November, and it built up from there.
Right. And what was the grand total of snow accumulation that year?
Well, we average between 300 and 400 inches a year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cup Cadet and Toro and everybody else come up to Copper Harbor to test their machines, and they break them, by the way.
That's going to break.
So, yeah. Now, we've lucked out here in New Hampshire. The blizzard has... Yeah, we haven't seen a flake since from this blizzard yet so far. I don't think we are.
Except for the ones from the Weather Channel standing out in the corner.
And again, I apologize to my mid-Atlantic friends in Pennsylvania and also in the D.C., Virginia area, because I did purchase new snow removal equipment this year. And they all know what that means for them, because when I purchase snow removal equipment, it always keeps the snow south of us for the season. It just pushes it down. It says, nope, you're not going to New Hampshire. Not going to New Hampshire. So
Barry is ready for you. We got to catch him off guard.
So now my evil plan is to figure out how to... I've got to work out a budget so I can buy new snow removal equipment every year.
Well, that's simple. We'll just start up a fund called the Keep the Snow Out of Here Fund, and we'll just all collect money to give to you to buy new snow removal equipment so that we don't have to worry about getting snow anymore.
We can set up a FundMe FundMe page.
Actually, you know what? I figured out a way, a solution to this issue.
Mm-hmm.
You buy a pocket full of shear pins before every winter.
That is snow removal equipment.
It is snow removal equipment for about $20.
Hmm. Might have to think about that. Wait a minute. Yeah. I did that this year.
So you just proved that it works.
All right. Well, enough with the monster blizzard. Unless anybody else has got anything to say about the monster blizzard of the century.
The only thing I'd like to add is that calling it Fluffy instead of Jonas, it means that you're being attacked by something akin to the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. That's awesome.
That's great. I like Fluffy. They should have called it Fluffy.
Yeah, I think so.
I figured I'd throw this little ditty in there after watching the news last night and how people are panicking and freaking out and so on and so forth down south. And I have family that live down south, but are originally from the Pennsylvania I said, tell all your friends from the south there that have never really lived in the north where there's or central or where there's snow. don't drive. And my old man says, what? I said, have you watched the plethora of YouTube videos on Northerners versus Southerners driving in the snow? I cracked up. I was laughing my ass off because they just try and go out and drive. Like it's like there's no plows, people. There's no snow. There's people out there with a broom trying to move 12 and a half inches of snow. Good luck with that. You know, and I was just watching them crash their cars. You know, people filming it on their iPhones and Android phones. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to drive in the snow.
And for the people down south who aren't used to driving in snow, but they have SUVs with or vehicles with four-wheel drive,
yes,
or all-wheel drive, yes, that is only to help you get out of a sticky situation. It doesn't mean you can go down the highway at 70 miles an hour going, I'm okay, I got four-wheel drive.
Because woo-hoo, I can get going awesome.
And because you can go those speeds. But a word of advice we Northerners have learned, every vehicle has four brakes, and they don't work in the snow very well.
And even shittier on ice.
So you can get up and go, you just can't stop.
Oh, don't forget our other favorite little hobby, turning. Turning is often a lot of fun when you're doing 40 miles an hour in the snow. Look at me go! Yeah. And you cut the wheel to the right, and it just plows straight forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a guy that has rolled a four-wheel drive Ranger pickup, I can tell you that, yes, four-wheel drive will help you go, but it will not help you stop.
Nope, that's right. Where tires come in.
That's right.
Yeah, tires on black ice, it just slides like crazy.
And I know most people in the Washington, D.C. area probably don't buy snow tires, but that's what we buy up here. We put snow tires on the vehicles.
Snow tires or studded snow tires in Barty's case, and you mentioned ice because that will stop.
So, but yeah, I know you don't get enough snow down there to warrant the cost of snow tires. But
you know what I hear, you know what, on that very note, I want to jump on your bandwagon, if I may, sir.
Mm-hmm.
People say it's not worth it buying snow tires down here because it might only snow once every 8 years, or according to the news, every 90 years. But what I say is, how much is the deductible on your insurance when you crack up your car because you didn't have the right tires on in winter? So those $400 for tires, if your deductible is more than that, it's worth buying the tires because you will crack up your car.
And they do make a difference. Snow tires do make a big difference.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's move off of that topic and go with Michael's next.
Yeah, well, first of all, I have a correction.
Okay.
As I was relating the story about the bottled water,
<Go ahead.
laughs> Mrs. Virtual Youper said, wasn't that Aquafina? And I looked it up in the article again, and like, oh, yep, she's right. Pepsi's version was Aquafina,
yes,
which is what the lawsuit's about. And
yeah, because I think Coke, does Coke own
Coke? Coke is the other.
Dasani.
Yes,
Dasani. Yeah, same thing, just switch the names.
So, you know, just going ahead and correcting it, thanks to Mrs. Virtual Youper there.
Yes,
Mrs.
very good.
Virtual Youper.
Hey, thanks, Mrs. Shot. Youper.
Yeah, doing our vetting of our news stories back there, just checking it on us.
Wow.
Okay, also, so, yes, moving.
I was going to say, I just wanted to throw this in. Dasani still sucks.
Dasani still sucks. Dasani still sucks.
And I haven't had the Aqua, whichamacallit either. What was it called?
I haven't had Aquafina.
Aquafina.
Aquafina. Yeah.
Again, I usually don't buy bottled water. My wife loves bottled water, and she buys it by the case, you know, and she buys, I forget what she calls it. It's the cheap stuff. But she goes, well, I like it because I use it in the car. I said, buy yourself a water bottle. We got a freaking filter on our well water. Here, you can just fill the thing up. We got an osmosis.
An RO system on the kitchen sink.
Yeah, that filters our already clean well water.
Mm-hmm. By the way, your
mountain
water?
Spring well water.
Yes, I was going to say that. I said that to somebody at work the other day.
Yeah.
They said, "Oh, we got to get some spring water." I said, "You know, I flush my toilet with spring water."
Well, and I got to say, if you want to talk about Monadnock Mountain spring water. That's my backyard. Mount Monadnock's in my backyard. So, you know, the water comes from there.
Here's a hint. It's coming from the same source.
You want spring water? Wrap your lips around the tap and turn it on cold.
Yep. So, but I can't convince her. You know, stop buying the stuff. Just buy yourself a water bottle.
Yeah. Hey, Barry, you ought to start selling Barry's bottled water and just say it's Mount Monadnock spring water from Barry.
No, Sammy's bottled water.
Yeah. Sammy's bottled water. Yeah, you know.
Well, we have. Crystal. We had Fizzy Pop or Wizzy Pop.
Wizzy Pop. Yes.
Wizzy Pop. All natural recycled water.
Yes. Yes. That's why the QRM beer tasted so good. Not from the Wizzy Pop, from the spring water. Get your line out.
I thought it was the dog drool.
Was that now an asparagus flavor?
Yep.
How come this this Belgian white's kind of greenish looking? I don't know.
Only certain people can actually tell the asparagus flavored Wizzy Pop. You got to have the right gene. I'm one of those people that has the right gene, and I've always wanted to walk into the men's room and go to the guy next to me. Asparagus last night, huh?
Jeez. Well, I do know if you drink enough grape juice, your pee will turn a reddish purple.
It's not that color normally?
No, you need to go see your urologist.
Yeah, and they'll start shoving things up your ass. Little cameras. Find the source of this.
Your plumbing is backwards, sir. Your pee is not supposed to be purple all the time.
Oh, I learn something new every day here on Late Night QRM.
Well, we're here to help.
Hey, Michael.
Yes. So, and I moved the microphone to the custom eyeglass earpiece holder. So hopefully it's.
Michael, I think.
I was probably wrestling all over the game.
You know, there's been a lot of talk on other podcasts about that. And
you need to patent that idea, sir.
Yes, you need to have idea. The Youper. What did I call it the other day? It was
Youper mic stand.
The Youper mic stand for earbuds. And you need to take a picture of yourself with it properly dangling, because they keep trying to describe it and nobody does it justice. And I think you need to get a picture of it in the proper position and post it on the podcasting emporium.
Okay, maybe that should be my my artwork. I still don't have the podcast that should not be named up on the podcast emporium. I have been talking to Anth about that. I gotta get this straightened out.
Yeah.
All the way and take that sure SM58 off my eyeglasses.
All you have to do is go up there and post, make a post and put a link to it.
Yeah, I know.
It's easy.
Well, okay. So,
yeah.
Anyhow, getting to the notes here, speaking of notes. So Thursday night, I'm opening my own business and thinking, gee, it'd be a good night to just chill out for a while, and I happened to look at the battery voltage of the system up on the mountain that shall not be named. Anyway, no, really? No. No, it didn't help, did it?
Barry.
There was the end fight.
Okay.
Okay, so I said, well, maybe the wind will pick up. Well, about 11 o'clock at night, battery voltage is at 11.5 volts and dropping quickly, and I'm like, crap. So I talked to the system administrator, and I'm like, Jonathan, I guess I'm heading up. And you hear this, thank you, from the other side. But we went through an extended period of wind either from the wrong direction or no wind and no sun. You know, funny thing that happens up here once in a while, especially when they forecast snow in feet and not in inches up by us last week. So, and I'm not kidding about that. It's dispensed with the inches part and said, yeah, it's going to be, you know, half a foot here, half a foot there. Jeez. So, 11 o'clock Thursday night, I grabbed the tools from the man cave, the Uper Studios, went into the harbor, p- picked up the tracked ATV and headed up the mountain after starting the generator.
And he's gone. Oh, there he's back. He's back again.
You're back again.
Now you're Cyloning.
Okay.
You want us to come back to you?
How about now?
You're breaking up.
Come back to me.
Okay, the Uper Mobile Studios are going into a no man's zone right now.
Dead zone.
We'll have to get back to them, so we'll go on to Joel right now.
Yes, Joel. What was Joel going to say? Oh, yes.
Slave labor. So,
yes, yes, thank you. That's exactly what it was. So, whilst things at work always seem to slow down in the industry in which I'm in, which is electronics and manufacturing, and the slowdown has had a ripple effect. A ripple effect in such a capacity that my long-loved Every Other Fridays Off have been suspended for everybody until summer.
That sucks.
Yes.
Now, let me ask the important question. That means you're basically, you're still required to work your 9.5, 10-hour day?
No, I had to work 11-hour days.
You have to work 11-hour days?
I had to. For my Fridays off, it was an 11-hour day.
Yeah.
10 hours worked, 1 hour for lunch, unpaid. And it was suggested that, well, everybody works, you know, well, when it was suggested as far as, well, I always work a 10-hour day. And I'm thinking, and I looked at the manager and I said, let me get this straight. I'm going to basically give you Fridays, 10 hours of my time on the Fridays I would normally have off, and do 50 hours a week with nothing to look forward to it. Now, I granted working is good and yada, 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 and I love to work, so that's fine. Mm-hmm. However, why would I do that again when I can now do a 9-hour day and call it and be out of there by 3:30? And it was, well, the boss likes to saw to stay till 5. I said, yeah, and I like to have my every other Friday off, but that didn't happen either, so I'm out of here at 3:30.
Yeah. And they're not paying you EWT or anything like that?
No, that doesn't exist at all.
So not they just yeah.
Not even slightly. If you work on your off Friday, you don't get paid anything extra for it. You just worked on your off Friday.
Yeah.
But did they at least give you Vaseline when they bend you over?
No, it was dry. It was dry, Barty. It was, and I didn't even get a kiss or a drink first.
So let me get this straight. Work is slowing down, so they've taken away your Fridays off and asked you to work more hours.
Yes, because apparently the work for in the engineering department hasn't slowed down, or for office staff. Actually, that's still just as busy as ever. But production has slowed down.
Well,
so they're taking away the off Fridays for everybody.
I could see that if you've got government contracts.
Right. And so you lose your off Fridays and they still say, no, we want you to, you know, work 10 hours a day.
Yeah. Even Evil Corp doesn't do that.
I was kind of bummed about that. And when I mentioned it to my beautiful bride, she's like, in a ladylike fashion,
mm-hmm.
without being quite as colorful with her words, the words she should. Actually, no, she said, fuck that.
I was going to say, come on. We're talking Debbie here. She doesn't mince words.
And I think she's right.
Oh, right. Definitely.
Yes. It was definitely, it was a shocker. It was a blow. And I'm like, okay, so I drive 2 hours, worked 11, would drive 2 hours home. But at least I had every other Friday, 3-day weekends to look forward to every other one. Now, no, we want you to do 2 hours here, work 10 hours, 2 hours home, 5 days a week. No.
Yeah, that's...
Nope.
Yes, come to the dark side. Come to Evil Corp.
Evil Corp has cookies.
Yes. Well,
I like cookies.
Sometimes.
Yes.
But at least when they make you go to the department meetings, they give you a free lunch because, you know, they always hold the department meetings, the functional meetings.
Yep.
They always hold them at lunchtime. And so the idea there is we'll provide you a free lunch. It's a $10 gift certificate, basically, or, you know.
Right.
And you take coupon you take down to the cafeteria. And so you use your half hour, and then we can charge a half hour to overhead.
Yes.
So basically what they're doing is they're basically paying you $10 for that half hour.
Right.
That's your lunchtime usually.
Yep. I don't even get a half hour for lunch.
So, well, by law, you're supposed to.
Well, yeah, exactly. But when, as soon as you sit down at your desk, you got to heat up your lunch. And then I go back to my my cubicle to eat.
I have days like that. You know what happens?
Every day is like that. Okay. Your phone's ringing. Emails are going. People keep walking into your cubicle going, hey, can you help me with me?
Joel,
and you never get to eat your lunch.
You know what you do?
Leave the building.
When's your normal, when you're supposed to work to?
What do you mean? What time? Like today?
What time are you you're supposed to work?
Well, I want to leave at 3:30, but I may bend a little and stay till 4:00.
Okay. So, but 3:30 is basically your time you're supposed to leave.
Yeah.
Right. So you take your lunch at 3:00.
Yeah, that's not allowed. Not permitted.
But you're salaried.
Yeah, but it's frowned upon. And
it might be frowned upon, but you know, to me, I don't like it when they have meetings during lunch.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll let you know how that plays out.
Yeah. Come to Evil Corp.
You're leaving sooner, and they already said, no, we want you to stay at 05. Fuck you, I'm staying at 05. Well, come in later. Oh, so you want it to be a 2.5 hour drive in, because I'm stuck in traffic, and a 2.5 hour to go home. No.
So basically, they just want you to stay until 5, no matter what.
Yes.
Even if you come in at 2 in the morning.
Yes. I typically I walk in the door at 6:28 in the morning.
Hmm. And they want you to stay till 5.
Yeah.
Assholes.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
Time to start looking.
Exactly.
I'm sure your RMFS has been acting.
Oh, my God. Yes. Ant would be proud. And, so Dave and Bob. I mean, my RMFS is going off like crazy.
Yeah.
Awareness. Awareness.
All right. Well, Michael, you're back, so quick.
Yeah, I've got cell signal because I stopped talking. Where did you leave me, or where did I leave you?
let's see. What were you talking about now? See, I'm old. I can't remember things.
Well, I mentioned the mountain that shall not be named.
Right.
And that the battery voltage had dropped down to 11.5 volts.
So that's about it.
And okay, then you heard, thank you, Michael, because you decided you would go up.
So it's Thursday night. It's been cold as crap. It's been snowing feet, and nothing was up there because we had buttoned it up on New Year's Eve. And, of course, it was supposed to be self-sufficient after that. Of course, we never know. We know that never happens.
Right.
So I grabbed the tools I was going to need in the man cave and headed off to the harbor, picked up the ATV, and first thinking to start the generator before I headed up the mountain, and had trouble keeping it running, but got it started a couple times and figured I'd be able to just run the gas through it, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it started.
Mm-hmm.
Went up the mountain. Took me longer than usual, but I got up there. Managed to get everything apart. Hooked up the gas generator and made up a nice little snow shelf for it to sit on, because it's on the side of a steep, steep hill going towards a cliff. So there's no level place to put things like this. Set up the 40-amp booster charger that we used to kick these batteries in, and started up the generator, which lasted about 5 minutes before it shut down. So I started it up again. This time it went about 10 minutes and shut down. And there's a theme developing here. So I was like, oh, I guess I'm going to be up here a while. So, you know, now it's like 12:30 at night. I've started the generator for the dozenth time, but it's, you know, it's charging. It's charging at about 40 amps because there's three very large AGM batteries in this enclosure that runs the microwave signals. And I figured, well, since I'm going to be here babysitting this generator anyhow, and I'm, of course, attempting to talk to the systems administrator while I'm doing this through Hangouts. There's a problem with the wind generator. It's working. That's the one that was on the mast when it snapped. So it hit the ground at a fairly high velocity, and it has damaged the yaw collar. The yaw collar is the rotary contactor that allows the generator to continue providing power down the mast as it rotates, 360 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some positions and some wind positions where it generates fine, and it gets off that position and it generates nothing, although the blades are spinning, which means it's not generating power, and it's not good for the wind generator because now you've got an open circuit with a fast-turning blade. So I figured since I was going to be up there for a while, in the dark, in the middle of the night, I'd climb up on top of the structure, get up to the top of the mast, loosen all of the bolts holding the yaw collar to the mast, and rotate it 180 degrees. So I did that. Now it's 1:30 in the morning. I'm trying to remember when that is, and I decided, hey, I'm stuck up here hanging out. Why don't I do a podcast? So I record. It's like the fish story, the one that got away. This epic session, this epic helmet cast. And the first one wasn't too bad. I actually went back and listened to the audio a little bit before I continued on. And I got about 12 minutes into it, and I'm about to hit save. And I see the temperature alert come on my iPhone as it's shutting down. I'm like, no! Boss Jock's not smart enough to save it for you. And it's really not their fault. Yeah. But I lost the entire first episode. As the phone completely shut down, fully charged, I will tell you. Getting into another subject along with this, but whatever. But I have learned to bring an auxiliary battery and charge cable up with me. So I plugged in the auxiliary battery and charge cable, and it took about 15 minutes before the phone decided, oh, I guess we do have power, and came back up and running. And I proceeded to record some of the worst audio I think ever. Except maybe the time I tried to do it out on the outboard motor on Lake Fanny Hall a couple of years ago. That was pretty loud, too. But to make a long story even longer, I stayed up there as long as it physically could. I was getting pretty uncomfortable. And headed down the mountain. Shortly after I headed down the mountain, the generator quit. I figured that out once I got to the bottom of the mountain. But I didn't get home till 2:30 in the morning, and I did have to work Friday. So staying up through the rest of the night to babysit this thing was not an option. So that's what I did for fun on my Thursday night, Friday morning. Okay. Now, let's see here. I'd say back to you, Joel, but you already did your subject.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I did.
So we'll go on to Michael. Michael, you're next.
Yes. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm going to turn this into a Ubercast. So I was perusing through break.com. I think this was last night. No, it would have been the night before because last night we were driving. No, it still could have been last night. Anyhow, I scroll down the page a little bit for those of you who may or may not look at break.com. But it's one of those favorite funny video sites where they steal videos and pictures from everybody else. But it's a favorite of fire and EMS people because it's something you can look at quick in between calls. And I scroll about, maybe a third of the way down the page. And here's his face with glasses on staring back at me. And I'm like, I know that.
And you're breaking up.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I sure am.
Okay.
I get two dots now. Can you hear me?
Kinda. Yeah.
For all you new listeners, yeah, my mobile was normally pretty crappy. How about now?
Yeah, you're okay. We heard how about now.
And okay, you're crappy.
We're climbing. I'm crappy.
Yeah, he said.
He said he was climbing up Mount Crappy.
No. I don't even want to hear the theme song for that one.
I was going to say, we didn't visit there when Barry and I came up.
From Mount Crappy.
I don't remember.
I'm up to three dots now. You... yes?
No. Yeah, you're good. You're good. Go.
Okay.
No, he's not good.
What?
Oh,
you're very lying.
Talk. We'll see. And I hear nothing.
That's Barry's fault.
Oh, I can hear it. I can hear the truck again.
Nah.
Hello, Jack. Nah.
How about now?
Yeah.
Me now.
Try it. Go.
All right. So, I was talking about Break.com before I picked up my phone and slammed it into my MacBook Pro. Scroll down the page about a third of the way, and lo and behold, there's a very distinctive face with wireframe glasses reviewing Kentucky Fried Chicken by the name of Robert Dyer. And most of the comments on Break.com is, how far can I make it through this review before I can't take it anymore? They're like, oh, they haven't watched that many Robert Dyer videos, have they? You guys know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So he's finally made the big time. He's moved off of YouTube. Well, he's still on YouTube, but he's been discovered elsewhere besides
the
Canadian podcasting group.
I can't believe it.
You know, Robert Dyer is an acquired taste.
Yeah, taste. But it's like passing a car wreck.
you don't want to look.
But you drive slow and look anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is supposed to be broken up with other people putting subjects in here.
Yeah. I've been trying to think of something else that happened the past 2 weeks, and I can't. So, Michael,
all right,
keep going.
I'll skip the next one and go on to the next one after that. How's that?
Okay.
All right, I'll have time. Give me something to talk about on the podcast that shall not be named this week. But speaking of that, January 26th, Tuesday, will be 10 years after. So.
Oh, yes.
That is the 10th anniversary of the official release of the first Virtual Uber podcast.
Yes. Polite clap, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. So, I've been having fun. I was actually on a tear for a while, and then things got pretty crappy, and I don't really feel like recording episodes sometimes when things are going kind of crappy. So, there was a hiatus. Then I had a reason to record Thursday night, Friday morning while I was waiting for the generator to try to keep running. But I'll try to get an episode or two in yet, and some sort of collection, maybe. By Tuesday, we'll see how things go. I guess what's regulating that, I guess, is the subject before that. They've been working on the bridge. Mm-hmm. Now they're planning on testing the bridge. The Keweenaw is an island. We've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. I know you say it's a lot of other things. Please don't go there tonight. There is only one bridge on and off this island, and they're expecting it to be down at least half an hour at a time every night starting Monday for the next week. And since the only two hospitals in the area are on the island and most of the population is south of the bridge, they thought it might be a good idea to have an extra medic crew stationed on the other side of the bridge all week.
Hmm.
So, but that comes into there aren't enough medics. So right. They've asked me to work some extra shifts next week, which I've agreed to do just from safety's sake.
Yeah, yeah. Thank God you're there.
Maybe I can bunk up with my son in the dorm room at Michigan Tech. I think he'd disagree with that. But no, we'll be staying at the fire station, I'm sure. But Monday night and Wednesday night of this coming week, I'm working night shifts after working day shift for my day job. This is going to be fun. So the virtual Uper is going to have even less sleep than normal.
Well, you'll be back to your normal schedule.
Yeah, my normal schedule. That's right. I'm sure you'll be hearing about that in the podcast.
I'm sure we're going to be hearing lots of podcasts that shall not be named.
Yes,
if you're not
yes.
busy.
If I'm not busy, yes.
So, very good. Well, Barty.
Well, a much more mundane topic than Michael has been relating, but our poor husky Thor has been limping pretty badly. Ever since we got him, he had a habit of like chewing on one of his legs. Yeah. He's got like a big stain there, but for the most part, it hasn't really affected him. But in the last couple of months, he's really been limping pretty bad. And there have been times where he's like seemed to be okay, so we'll decide, yeah, okay, we'll take him for a walk, and we'll get out a ways, not even that long a distance. And he starts to limp, and we bring him back, and he has just had a very bad limp, and it's been starting to get worse.
Is he licking his leg, or is he licking his paw?
His leg. He's okay. It was one leg primarily, but he's now starting to lick both legs, and he chews on them a bit too, which was kind of odd behavior. And we took him to the vets and said, "Hey, you know, why is this guy doing this?" And they said, "Well, it doesn't seem to be hurting anything, you know." And I says, "Well, you know, occasionally he limps, but now it's gotten to a point where he's limping quite a lot."
Yeah,
and it's not always the leg that he's licking and chewing on. It's either one of his front legs seems to really be bothering him a lot.
Is it back legs bothering him, or do you think it's the front legs?
It's definitely the front legs, because he doesn't have any issue with the back ones.
Okay.
And, you know, it's just, it's funny, because, like, he'll walk really well for a while, and then it's like he gets up after laying down for a few hours, and he's got this limp. You know, and it's like, what the heck?
Have you checked his paws, you know, inside? Does he let you check his paws, or is he very sensitive?
Yes, he does. Yeah. No. Okay. Well, he gets kind of antsy, but he lets me put my finger up inside his paws and feel around, and I don't feel anything in there.
Yeah. Wow.
And he's not comfortable with it, but he doesn't stop me. And the same thing with his legs. Where he's licking and chewing, I can rub my hands on it and feel it, and he doesn't get upset or anything. He just kind of looks at me like, "What the hell are you doing?"
You're getting fresh with me.
Yeah, so something like that.
Nails? Nails clipped? Not extra long?
We get those done regularly at the vet.
Okay.
The last dog we had, I did it myself, but Thor doesn't really trust me enough to let me do it.
Yeah.
So I let the vets do it.
I want to tell you, but with Samson, he has to be knocked out to trim his nails, because he won't let anybody. He gets all upset, and you know, he's 120 pounds, so you know, you don't mess with 120 pounds a dog if he doesn't want it. It's the only time he gets nasty is if you try to clip his nails.
Thor weighs the same, but from the vets, they tell us that they aren't knocking him out, but they are, I guess, willing to be more forceful with them than we are. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
But plus, there's more of them. So
yeah, they can hold him down.
Where, you know, Tony is very, very squeamish about doing anything that upsets him. Mm. And I don't mind upsetting him as long as I don't hurt him.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, I don't want him to hate me for doing something to him, so I'd just as soon take him to the vets and pay them and let him hate them.
When was the, are you going to take him to the vet again to have him checked out, or are you just going to hold off and see?
No, we're going to take him back and say, "Hey, look, this is still going on, and it's now starting to get worse, so we're also going to look into some pet health insurance plans." And because we were thinking that maybe there's something under the skin that's bothering him, and he's probably going to need some more expensive treatment to or test to determine just what it is that's in there that's bugging him and pissing him off. And
I'm sorry. Has he been tested for Lyme disease?
I'm not sure if he's been tested for that. He's been tested for a lot of different things.
Well, check, see, because you know how that leaves a ring mark that's irritating on people. I think it does the same thing with pets. And Sammy, when we got him, had Lyme disease, and we had to have him on antibiotics for you know, the first 6 weeks we had him to get rid of the Lyme disease. He's now Lyme disease clear, but it does affect dogs, especially if you got ticks in the area.
Yeah, well, we're pretty rural, so that's a very strong possibility. Just, appreciate that. Yeah. Appreciate that, Bear. Thank you.
Yeah, check on that. Yeah, when you ask the vets, they may have already checked him, but ask them, did you check him for Lyme disease?
Yeah, I'll definitely do that.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
So that's pretty much it on that. It's just that, you know, we're just kind of antsy because, you know, we love this dog. And we're just kind of worried about how things are going.
They're the family, man. They're part of the family. You know,
he totally is our family here. He sleeps with us, you know. Yeah. That old joke about how the dog steals your heart, then he steals your bed. That's Thor.
Yep. Yeah, I know. And then the worst part about it is they can't tell you what's bothering them. You know,
yeah, so. Totally.
So you just got to, you know, a lot of times you got to sit and look and see and wait and try to, you know, figure it out, you know. So.
Yep, they'll tell you that little Timmy's in the well, but they can't tell you what's wrong with them.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Good one, Michael. Thank you.
They know when you're not feeling well.
Yep.
But they can't tell you when they're not feeling well.
Yeah, we had a small dog in Japan that whenever we were upset about something in the house, the dog would start chasing its tail and, like, actually catching it and biting it a few times and yipping. And it would crack it. We would all be laughing our asses off watching this dog.
Wow.
But, you know, when we were all in a sad mood, it really kind of changed our whole emotions.
That's funny. So he cheered you up by doing it. He's not dumb. Yeah. A dummy. Hey, yeah. I did think of one more topic that belongs in Days of Our Lives. And I just thought about it because, well, it happened right before I came up here to do the podcast. And both Anne Marie and I are kind of sad right now because we watched the last episode of Downton Abbey. I'm a little verklempt. I'm gonna miss it.
Is that Days of Our Lives or Entertainment? Well, I guess it's not last month.
Oh, it could be, but the way we feel, it's Days of Our Lives. It's over. Thanks to the magic antenna, we watched it early. And we've had it, actually, since before Christmas, but Anne-Marie didn't want to. I gotta put it off. And I told her, I said, we can't put it off anymore. We have to watch it tonight. And we did. A box of Kleenex was used. We're done. We're done with Downton Abbey. There'll always be reruns. But it's done. Okay.
I feel that way about Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
Which one? The original or the remake?
The remake.
The original just went off the air.
Yeah, the remake, and then they had the show, and then I discovered Caprica after it.
Hmm.
And I was like, wow, that was good. Not as good as Battlestar, but, you know.
Yeah. Oh, well. All right. Let's get on to Geek's Corner.
Mowing my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Can't you see I'm wide and nerdy? Look at me, I'm wide and nerdy.
And here we are in the tech part of the podcast. Michael, you're up first.
Okay, well, I'll start out with a little science segment on a new standard that seems to also have been embraced by Jason with an O. So I was driving, as most of you know, Mark to school. And between Chris and I, we're driving him to and picking him up every day. Take him down for Monday, pick him up on Friday.
Get away with that if you can.
No, but last week he did start taking the bus again. But the week before that, and leading up until that, we were dropping him off and picking him up, which is between 750, 800 miles a week. Just going to school back and back. But during the middle of the cold snap by us, I was dropping Mark off at school and looked up the thermometer on the truck and went, oh, I thought it was supposed to be warmer today. It's 8 below in Fahrenheit. And I was getting ready to do, I was doing a regular podcast on the way back, pretty much at 8:30 in the morning every day, just north of Mohawk, and flipped it over for our friends north of the border, and it was 22 below C. And then it finally occurred to me that that's a capital C. It must be 22 below Canadian. So that is how I'm referring to, we've got American Fahrenheit and we've got Canadian. And that's
Canadian Fahrenheit. Just Canadian.
It's Canadian.
Just it's Canadian. Canadian. Just like you say, that's $5, $8 Canadian.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that's my contribution to science. We're going to convert over the North American system because now they have a reason to. It's Canadian.
There we go. I like that. I'm going to start
doing right.
That. I'm using that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. Very good. I guess I'm next, and I got to tell you,
yes.
Whether you know it or not, we're using this tonight. Rogue Amoeba. Now, that's a little software company that's been making Mac stuff for a very long time. They make the infamous Audio Hijack software, which is very good if you need to record things off of web pages and stuff. I have Audio Hijack, and it's very nice. It works very well on a Mac to get that. They came out with a new app, and it is called Loopback. Now, what Loopback does is basically the same thing as Sound Siphon, except for they do it right. But wait, there's more. They have other stuff involved. So it allows you to take channels, including from apps or from input devices, and it allows you to intermix them to create either, you know, outputs for each individual thing. You can make outputs for different channels off of USB inputs. You can make separate channels for applications. And better yet, you can make inputs too. And so you can take your outputs and manually mix them into an input. So, for example, I've got for you guys, so you can't hear yourselves, of course, naturally you can't, I don't want your output going back to you, otherwise it would feed back and everything. Well, Skype already takes care of that. But I have taken Loopback and I pull Skype out, and then on the input, I put my input, I put the soundboard input back to you guys so you can hear both of those things, even though they're two separate channels, and it doesn't mess anything up with you. And what it allows me to do with Audition is I can put everything in separate channels for recording. And I love that because it makes it a lot easier to edit. So Loopback is very good. Now, having said that, and knowing a lot of podcasters, well, podcasters don't like to pay money for things, but you will pay money for this. What?
Sorry, I just looked at the price.
Oh, well, yes. Straight out, it's $99. However, when I got the notification, there was a discount going on, 30% discount, which brought it down to $79.
Uh-huh.
I further got another discount because, well, I've been buying Rogue Amoeba products, so I got it for $69. But I will tell you,
it works.
It works. And if you notice, we haven't had any problems yet. And as soon as they came out with it and I looked at it, and I did download it and do the trial thing for a little bit to make sure it did everything I wanted it to do. But I said, this is Rogue Amoeba. Rogue Amoeba makes great stuff. It's not going to be screwed up. So I highly recommend it if you can afford it. If if you're truly into setting up an audio studio, it's well worth it. But it's pricey. So Rogue Amiga Loop Back. It's good. Michael.
I do trust them. But yes. Yeah, I'm getting over the shock right now. Yeah, right now on their webpage, actually, it's listed at $75 as an introductory price.
Right.
Regularly $99.
Yeah. So there's a deal right now if you really, but again, if you're into the audio processing and stuff like that, you don't think twice about it because you're like, it lets me do everything I want it to do. I want to do, you know, so.
Well, you know, if this was the days before the smart device, before the smartphone, we wouldn't even think twice about that.
I know.
Like, yep, must be a good product. Okay, $75, a little steep, but it's still less than a upgrade copy of Windows. So.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, Michael? Marty, go ahead.
Yeah, Marty.
I was just going to ask what you were using as a primary recording software.
Well, I'm going to get to that in a minute.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Sorry.
No, that's fine. That's fine. That was a good question.
I was just going to say, well, you know, why wouldn't you expect your primary recording software to do that?
Oh,
and have that capability.
It doesn't. It just takes inputs. The problem with and the same thing.
We can get to that later on.
Yeah, yeah. Well. No, this actually has to do with this product. With Apple, you can plug things in, like USB inputs from, you know, if you have a mixer board that has a USB out and goes in, you can send in several tracks. But that doesn't mean that when you pull up your DAW, which is a digital audio workstation, software, it's going to allow you to see those as multiple channels. Sometimes you need software to do that. And with applications, unless you've got something like this, you're not going to be able, you know, all you can do is say, I'm taking the audio out, standard audio out from my laptop, and, you know, as long as I'm not playing anything else, I can hear something I'm playing on a web browser. Well, now I can actually specify, look, the Chrome Red Browser, Toy Boat, and I'm not even drinking tonight. That's Chrome web browser output.
<Mike's right.
laughs> I want that to go to this channel. I want, if I'm running Skype, I want the Skype to go to this channel. And if I'm running Soundboard on the laptop instead of on the MacBook or the iPad like I'm doing right now, I can say I want that to go to that channel. And then all those can be put in on separate channels on your DAW.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so that's what makes it nice, because you can isolate everything, which is what engineers always like. They like to isolate as much as possible for editing purposes. So, Michael, you're next.
Yes. Okay. Well, as I talked to you guys pre-show, we're in a bit of a data bind this month. We've got a 10 gig plan, which is now spread between four phones, so that's already a little tight. And we've been on the road a lot this month, or you know, this past month, so that's upped the amount of mobile data usage we've been using. But I found one of the biggest offenders, which is now that we're, well, my wife, Mrs. Virtual Uber, is not. She uses my account to check on things, but we're basically all on FaceTube again, even though it may be casual.
Mm-hmm.
But on the mobile app, as you cruise through the postings in FaceTube, it now autoplays all the video as you go by it, so you can see what they're trying to show you.
Yes.
And the default is autoplay on mobile data. It's a huge user of data. So if you go into, on your mobile version of Facebook, go into the other settings, two settings. Under settings, there's one that says video and picture settings. Click on that, and you'll see another one that says autoplay. And you have to click on that to see what its default is, which is run during mobile data.
Hmm.
So you can click on that to never autoplay or only autoplay while on Wi-Fi, which I have now set our personal browsers to do, because it was chewing up data left and right every time they went to check Facebook.
Thank you for that, Michael. Actually,
so
thank
that's
you.
A big one.
Because I've been weaning myself off of FaceTube for a while. I only go in like once or twice a week. But with the snowstorm and everything, the blizzard, the monster blizzard of 2016.
Fuzzy, the storm.
Yeah, I've been going on more often because, you know, people are posting pictures and stuff, and I really wanted to see that stuff. So, and yes, there's a lot of video out there, and I noticed when I'm home, yes, it's all going as you're going past it. It's you know, you don't get the sound, but you're seeing the video play. So,
yep.
And but that's good to know.
You can turn it off in both the mobile version and in the web browser version too. It's in different spots.
Okay. But I don't mind it when I'm home.
I've turned it on. No, and I don't mind it when I'm on Wi-Fi, but yeah. I don't want it chewing up my data.
Right. I could see that sucking up data real quick.
Now, if I could just get CNN and Fox News to do the same.
Yeah.
I don't dare check the news on my phone anymore because they instantly bring up the videos for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they need to outlaw pop-up ads. Sorry, I'm so sick of those goddamn ads. That, you know, I want to read this story. And you click on it and you go, oh, no, it's one of these sites. And then the next thing you know, but I'm going to read the story anyway. And all of a sudden an ad pops up. And it's got a little X on the corner. And you click it and it says, oh, do you want this ad to go away? And you go, yes. And it says, okay, it'll go away in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, goes away. You know? It's like, look, if I press the button because I didn't want to see the fucking ad, I want it to go away then, not 5 seconds from now. If I'm not reading it now, I'm not going to spend 5 seconds reading it. Most of the time, I see one of those ads pop up and I say, yeah, I'm not interested in the story and go, you know, just backspace. Yeah. I'm so tired of those. Ugh. Ugh. Okay. Sorry. Rat hole. I got to say, I guess I'm next on the list. I got to say that this year, you know, this is going to come as a shock. And I'm not saying I'm abandoning it, but I am seriously going to be shopping and looking at what the Samsung Galaxy 7 has versus the iPhone 7 when they come out. Because, frankly, over the past year, I have been slightly irritated about iOS.
What?
And it's
disillusioned?
It hasn't been what we've come to love and know in the past. And I gotta say, the commercials are kind of, oops, okay. Hang on. Okay, I'm safe. My screensaver just went and blanked out all my screens. The commercials actually, you know, I in the past it was always iPhone and then, oh, Samsung's copying it and look, they caught up and then iPhone and then Samsung. But lately it's been Samsung and iPhone's catching up. Samsung and iPhone's catching up. So, and I don't know. I'm going to be open and I want to look at both of them. I'm still not a big fan of Android. However, it's much better than it was in the past. And I know, Barty, you've got a business phone that's running Android. Which you have a Galaxy, right?
Yeah, but mine is it's a Galaxy S. I have the S5.
Right.
I can tell you, there's a guy at work that has both. He's got I think he's got like an iPhone 6S and the Galaxy 6, and they look virtually identical.
Yes, they do.
The ports are in the exact same frigging places, and everything looks exactly the same. The only thing that's different is the label on them. One says Samsung and one says Apple. And looking around at the screen, I don't see where the Samsung phone has to say that it has any problems comparing with the Apple, because they're virtually in a dead heat.
I've actually been told, and I haven't seen one natively, but Samsung's OLED, or whatever they call it, they've got OLED screens.
Yeah.
And supposedly they've got a better picture than the iPhones do, because their iPhones still use an LCD display.
Well, it depends what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Apple graphics system will accentuate things that are from Apple. Yeah. So if you're using, if you're looking at pictures in iPhoto and things like that, or I guess it's just photos now, it will look really sharp and clear. And if you're using a other app on the Samsung, it doesn't quite look as nice. But the big problem with Android is that there are bugs in the kernel that Google has no intention of addressing. There are like zero-day bugs and things like that that Google is kind of like saying, oh, well, you know, and because they don't have a phone that they're selling with this. They, I mean, they're licensing out their operating system and stuff to different companies. But other than that, it's not like their name is being sullied by these problems.
I thought Nexus was theirs, you know, like the Nexus 7, even though it's made by a different.
On the tablets,
Yeah. Well, like I said, I'm going to, before it would be like, you know, I'm just going with iPhone 7. This year, I'm actually going to look and compare and give it a good, hearty review.
And, you know, to be honest, these vulnerabilities that exist, it's, okay, hackers can get into it. But what's the likelihood of a hacker getting into your individual phone, you know? Does anybody really care about you? You know, I mean, you're just a Joe Schmo kind of guy, you know, running around out there. Well, actually, at work, you're a bit of a bigwig. But really, who's really going to be wanting to get into your personal phone?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, your dad is already in China.
That's right. I got my notification. So I'm just saying. I've been reading the rumors about the iPhone 7 and what they're going to have, and I've been reading the rumors about the Galaxy 7 because it hasn't been announced yet, but, you know, there's rumors out there what it's going to have, and I'm like, so Galaxy 7's catching up with iPhone 7 with, like, the 3D Touch. They're going to have their own 3D Touch. And iPhone's going to catch up with the Samsung because they claim they're going to have wireless charging. But Galaxy 7 is going to be running the latest version of Android Marshmallow, and they got the OLED, and I think they've got better battery life.
Well, when it comes to battery life, I can tell you that the feature of having an extra battery that you can plug into your phone on the S5 is an important feature because battery life sucks.
Okay.
It totally sucks on the S5.
Well, and these are the things I want to know because I'm telling you, in my mind, these guys are neck and neck, and you know.
Well, I agree with you. I think they really are neck and neck. You know, when Samsung was advertising all these commercials, you know, making fun of Apple people trying to charge their phones desperately in airports because their phone could have an extra battery and you could stick it in. Yeah, well, their phones, the other side of that joke was the fact that their phones had to have the interchangeable batteries because it sucked the battery dead and nothing flat. So, you know, with the S5, the battery life was terrible. You had to have a spare battery, where none of the iPhones I've ever had would have a battery so bad that I had to have a spare battery halfway through the day to keep it going.
So what I'm looking at is supposedly the Galaxy 7 will probably be announced and available in April. I'm not going to get a phone until September because, you know, I got my 6 Plus that, you know, gets paid off in September time frame. And that's, of course, we'll know about the iPhone 7 by then. So, but I'm gonna be looking at them. And I'll tell you, this whole thing was triggered. It's funny, little things, but this whole thing was triggered with the fact that, oh, we're probably going to drop the earbud, you know, the 3.55 millimeter, plug on the phone. Yeah. I'm like,
Jack.
Sorry, but I like using other earplugs, and I don't want an adapter that I got to pay extra money for hanging out of it. You know, and yes, I'm not going to be doing Bluetooth all the time with earbuds. So, anyway,
yeah, I don't blame you.
So I'm going to be looking. We'll see. I'll let you know. You'll hear about it the entire trip here to check out these phones. right here on the podcast. And I guess I'm next on the next one. This one should be pretty quick because I've already talked about it a little bit, but I have reluctantly become an application renter.
Dun, dun, dun.
As you know, I have been a big fan of Adobe Audition, and many years ago, they moved over to renting it instead of purchasing a copy of it, and I've been staying away from it for as long as I can. The version of Adobe I have now, although it works, it doesn't have all the bells and whistles of the new Adobe Audition. The new one, I downloaded it and did the 30-day free trial with it. Matter of fact, the last couple of podcasts, I was using it. And my 30-day trial was coming up, and I had to make the decision, and I decided to bite the bullet and do it. And I want to thank MMD for... I think he sent me a message in Twitter. I think it was Twitter he sent it to me. Telling me about another DAW that runs on Linux. And I did check it out, and it does look very good. I am just... I have fallen in love with, and I know Adobe Audition so well, and I have Linda courses on getting to know Adobe Audition even better. That I said, I've tried other things. I'm not happy with it. I'm very comfortable with Audition, and yeah, I guess it's worth the money. Now, with that said, renting this stuff, I get updates for it all the time. So, yes, you rent it, but you get updates for it. And so you're always up to date. But for the podcast, I'm taking it in the wallet. And
hey, Baron?
Huh?
Didn't you also mess around with Logic Pro for a while?
I did. And I wasn't thrilled with it. I tried. Okay. I was starting to get to like it. But there were things like controls did not react right away. That's important in sound. You know, if I press a button, I want it to happen then and not a half a second from then.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
And I was getting lots of pops and clicks. Sometimes the thing would just give out.
Wow, that's amazing, because that software that, speaking of popping out.
I think we lost. Did we lose Michael?
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
Okay.
But Logic Pro is a program that's used by professional musicians to record things.
It is. And maybe, you know, even though I got a real hefty laptop here, but maybe it runs better on, like, you know, a Mac Pro. But Audition, you know, all the Adobe stuff on video and everything, ever since, again, Apple... all the Apple stuff used to be used by pros. And Apple started messing with this stuff and taking stuff out. Now everybody I know that's a professional has moved over to all the Adobe stuff. Because, you know, they don't trust Apple anymore. And I'm talking about all their video software and, you know, video editing software and everything else. Yeah, I mean, Photoshop's still like number... Well, Photoshop's Adobe too. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's a legend.
Yeah. So, I just, like I said, I started out, I learned Audition, I like Audition, I can get around Audition fast, I know the shortcuts, I'm happy with it, and I said, I'm happy with it, and that's what's important. I can get stuff done faster with it, which is important. You know, so I don't put podcasts out 6 months down the road. So I did it. I'm doing it. And I thank people for their inputs, MMD especially, for letting me know about that. But I have taken the plunge. And I know MMD has used Audition in the past. And he said, you know, he rented it for a year. And he said he was giving it up and moving on over to this other DAW. But and I know, like, Jason down in Tennessee, he uses Audacity. A lot of people use Audacity, and that is a good for free. That's good. It doesn't have everything I like to use, and that just irritates me. You know, I don't know. It's like, oh, well, it's kind of good enough, but no, I want this. So I'm paying for it. Yeah, you get what you pay for. And I'm a big Audition fan. So that was my news for that. So next would be Michael. Michael.
Oh, Michael.
He's on the dark side.
I'm the moon.
So I'll go with my last one in Geek's Corner, and we'll catch up with Michael's story when he gets back in contact with us. And this just came up today because, as you know, in listening to the podcast, and I've got three screens in front of me with software running on it, all tied into my MacBook Pro here. When I'm flipping, going from one screen to another, I sometimes lose my cursor and I don't know where it is. And I was saying, I need something where I can find my cursor. Now, built into MacBook Pro, if you shake your mouse like 3 or 4 times, it'll actually make the cursor larger for a second, and then it goes back down to normal size so you can find it. And I said, that's nice, but what I want to be able to do is when I move my mouse, I want to be able to see where it is, kind of like what Windows has with mouse trails. You remember, if you remember that, you can turn trails on. And so
that was an XP thing, right?
Yeah. It was, but I think it's still available in Windows boxes. Well, I found this other thing, and it's a little app, and it cost me, I think, $1.99 for the MacBook Pro, and it's called Simple Mouse Locator. And it's a little app, and it's got all settings in it and everything. And what it does is if you move your mouse horizontally in any way, even if you're going diagonally, you're kind of going horizontally and vertical at the same time. What it does is it a circle pops up, kind of grows out of the mouse and then shrinks back down real fast. But I've only been using it since this afternoon, and I got to tell you, I love this thing. I can flip over to the screen and anything, and that circle's big enough to, oh, there it is, you know, get my eyes there, and then it goes away and you just have the cursor there. And it's fast, and you can set it to the speed you want, but I'm loving it because I'm not missing where my cursor is now. I'm not losing it on any of the three screens. So very happy with it. And check it out. It's in the App Store, the MacBook Pro App Store, called Simple Mouse Locator. And was that Michael?
No, that was me.
Oh, did you disappear too?
No, I'm here.
Oh, Michael's calling. Hang on.
Right. And it says join call.
Yeah, I got to do it in such a way that I can add him. Oh.
Adding him to the way.
Join call. Let's see. Can I do that? Michael?
Hello?
Michael?
No, this is Joel.
Yeah, I know. Is Barty there?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Barty? What the hell happened?
Hello?
Oh,
hello?
Okay, Barty's there.
There he is.
Barty's here. He's not there.
Oh. Well, that's the problem.
Who's on first?
Yeah, what's on second?
I lost Michael. Let me see if I can call him. Oh, jeez. I don't know which one to call. He's got both of them up here.
Which one's the most recent?
Well, I've got in this call, I've got actually both numbers. he must have joined with both numbers. Okay, let me go scroll down and find Michael. There, I'll try this one. That's the one he usually uses. And oh, now he's in there twice. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I can do this. I don't want to call him. I want to add him. He's already added. That's the problem. Come on, Michael. Call back. Call back, Michael.
Call me.
He's not hearing me. Somebody text him and tell him to call back.
All right, I'll do it now.
I need to add him for some reason.
Okay, let's see here.
I got Virtual Youper here, and he's online. His other ones aren't online. I'm going to remove those. If I can. You do that? I don't know. Hey, the fun of podcasting, people.
Yep, I just
I know, right? That. This is exciting dialogue.
We're going on 2 hours, so we need to move this along. Okay. Oh, and Michael has the only Ingress alert. Oh, he's trying. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. I'm teeing. Trying.
Chat, trying, trying. All right. Try, Michael. Try. Try harder. Do it, Michael. Do not try. Do.
Okay.
That's right.
Yoda Barry.
Ah, there he is. Hang on. Join call. There we go. You there, Michael?
Hello.
Is everybody else there?
He's calling. It's his join call.
I had to hit join call.
What?
There we go.
He's there.
All right. Am I back in?
You're back in. And all the other Michaels dropped off.
How many virtual Youpers do we need?
I got echo.
We didn't just have the virtual Youper. We had the virtual Youper.
What? Am I on the right call?
Yes. Can you hear everybody else?
Hello.
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 I screwed up again.
Yeah.
I can hear.
We can hear you.
Eddie, are you kidding?
Wait a minute. Let me see.
Can you hear me, Joel?
Yeah, I can hear you, Michael.
Do we need to join him?
Joel, no. You are echoing all over the place.
I am almighty.
Yeah, you are echoing on me, Joel.
Check. Oh, wait, how about now?
No, you're echoing. Who do we just lose?
You lost Barty. Barty.
Barty's gone now.
Oh, Barty was still there.
Really?
Oh.
No, he's here.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all right. I'm here. You guys are there.
Joel, you are
Barty,
echoing.
Clear as bell with no echo.
That's Barty. Barty, exactly.
Oh, Joel, you've got a wicked echo.
Barty doesn't echo to me. You echo to me, Joel.
I'm echoing to Joel. Joel's Michael, echoing to you.
Michael, can you hear me?
I don't hear Barry.
You don't hear me at all?
Barry's laughing because he says he can't hear him.
All right, everybody hang up, and I'll call y'all back.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Oh, God. This always happens. Hang on, people. Let me find them. Oh, crap. Where'd they go?
Hang up the call. Oh, here it is.
Hang up. God damn it. All right. I'll call them all back. Here we go.
What?
Hello.
Hi. Barty's still got thoughts. There's Barty.
Hey.
We all back?
We're all back.
All right. Skype, we love you.
Yeah. No.
Fuck you.
Michael's got... Speaking of Skype, Michael.
Yeah.
Problem may be even deeper than I thought when I put it in the show notes this week, but... As I've mentioned in the past, the go-to method of chatting, messaging, whatever at work has become Slack, which is, you know, some people talk to me on Google Plus, you know, Hangouts during the week. Some people iMessage me. Then we've got the walkie-talkie app. And heaven forbid somebody send me an email to my personal address because I'll never see it during the week. I get just absolutely besieged by all kinds of, you know, other contacts. And we do all of our audio conferencing during the week at work on Skype. Well, Slack just released the Skype plugin for Slack. So work thought it'd be great. You know, of course, you know, we've been using Skype all along, no problems, for our conference calls during the week. But now they want to do it through Slack. So they call a conference call on Skype on Slack, and then immediately comes up and says, oh, you've got to add this plugin for it to work. Skype has not worked right on my laptop ever since.
Really?
Oh.
to the point where, I mean, it got to the point where it would ring on my MacBook Pro, and as soon as it would ring, it would disconnect and then create a conference call on its own to nobody. And it says, it basically says calling nobody. And it was actually, you know, it is actually ringing and everything to no contact.
Wow.
And then it wouldn't let, I couldn't even quit it. I had to force quit it. So I finally uninstalled the plugins, and I wound up having to uninstall Skype, reinstall Skype, but it's been flaky in my MacBook Pro ever since.
Wow.
So I am less than pleased.
Yeah, I would be too. Jeez.
Yeah, that's not really very impressive.
No, no, and this, you know, this all started with Slack, and it was a beta. And like, guys, why are we doing this? Why don't we stay with something that works?
And this is going to take us down to the section that Michael has the only story in, and this will be quick.
Acquiring position. Downloading latest Intel package.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, before you start, Michael, I got to say, and this is just short, I've noticed on one of the Google Plus Hangouts for this, the game that shall not be named, that a lot of people are coming in now when they're talking on the Hangout. I noticed their name, and in parentheses after it, it says Slack. So there must be some kind of an app or something plugin for Google Plus also, or Slack. But it's just annoying because now their name plus, you know, open parentheses Slack, close parentheses, is like, wow, could we take up any more space to say, I don't really care whether you're coming in from Slack or not, you know. So anyway, that was just my topic on the
I agree with you, Barry.
The game that shall not be named.
Yeah.
Michael, you got the only topic there.
So you know, I maintain the portals in the harbor just as something to do while I'm testing the software on the product I'm actually working on, because I'm doing a sports tracking device, and every time I make major software changes, I hop into one of the Jeeps, go off and test my software. And, you know, while I'm doing that, I might as well maintain a couple of portals. Mark's Guardian is coming up on 1 year, actually, very quickly. Wow. But there's a couple portals in the harbor where I intentionally light them up, and then I just let them die, and light them up and let them die, and I just, you know, I keep creating new links off of them and new fields, and bam, all of a sudden I hit 1,000 links. So I got a badge. Hey, all right. Bob, I hope you didn't go too far. Guzzle that beer, come back. No, the other Bob. Yeah, all right. Move along.
There was a big ass field made last week, I think, sometime. I didn't know whether anything hit Copper Harbor, but there was one. I think it was actually down by Hamilton area somewhere. Niagara Falls. Was one of them.
Niagara Falls, and then way west.
Yeah.
It came over the top of us.
Yeah. Yeah. It was huge. But anyway, okay, enough of the game that shall not be named.
Yep, nothing to see here.
Okay, so that brings us to Bottom Gear.
Welcome to another Late Night QRM edition of Bottom Gear. I'm one of your hosts, Joel, and as it looks in the show notes, I'm the only one who's got some stories to tell. I'll make them quick because they're not all that interesting. But...
Oh, everybody's interested in Goldfinger.
Well, the first is on Goldfinger. Okay.
I need to record one where that's all together because I split them up on purpose so I could just go
Goldfinger
when I want to. But
love that. I want to watch James Bond movies now. But So, I had mentioned a couple shows back about how I was going to be doing some custom modifications to Goldfinger because I had decided that, you know what, I like the car, but it sits too damn low to the ground, and it doesn't have enough light for me to see where the hell I'm going early in the mornings when it's pitch black. So we're going to change and modify it just a skosh. Well, the first phase of that skosh, and I'll jump back on our late night QRMG Plus page, which funny when the guys over at MMVH actually said, I predict Google Plus will be dead. Well, I still like it, and I think I'm going to jump back on it again on the late night QRM page. So I'll throw some pictures up of the 2-inch suspension lift kit.
Ah, yes, I want to see that.
That Dr. Kenny and I administered to Goldfinger when we had it up on the lift last Saturday, which did in fact raise the entire the peak of the wheel well from the top of the tire a solid 2 inches. Now, that said, I also put polyurethane sway bar bushings in it, and which now left enough room for what in talking to Dr. Kenny, he goes, might have put some bigger tires on. I'm like, yeah, but they need to be studded snows. I'm like, I'm thinking 31-inch truck tires.
Wow.
Wow.
I may have to cut the fenders out a little bit, but that's easy peasy.
Flare them, too.
Well, no, I have to cut the arches so the tires can travel up and down because of the struts. And yeah. That's we're doing a little measurement, and I may have to flare them out and put some bumper spacers. So just
you need to flare them.
Yep. So there's but the first phase, the 2-inch lift kit's on. I thought, well, that should be enough because if I put taller tires on it, I'm going to get some pretty decent ground clearance up underneath. Phase two will be the 110. What the hell was it? 110 lumen LED driving lights.
All right.
Oh yeah. You talked about that.
Yeah, so they're going on next and trying to figure out a way to design a custom front bumper. So he's like, don't make it from scratch. Buy one and modify it. I'm like, yeah, I'd rather make it from scratch. So we're toying around and playing with it. And then I was also thinking, well, I might just rhino line the entire car. You know, like the bed liner that sprays.
Oh, yes, the yes, bed? Yes. Yeah.
Black texture. Yep. Yeah, I might just do the whole car that way.
The outside of it?
Outside of it. Yep. All of it.
Damn, Joe.
We've done that to a couple of our trucks.
Yeah.
And, it works great because it's a quarter inch thick.
Yeah.
It's sprayed on. You're not going to, you know, if it was rusting, it'll stop because it doesn't have access to air.
Mm-hmm.
And, it does add a little bit of weight, but when you spray whole body.
Oh, God. You got to take pictures as this proceeds.
As it progresses. You're 100% right. So I do have plenty of pictures of the suspension lift, a picture of it on the lift, the spring spacers, all that stuff while it was in the air.
Yeah.
So that was that phase one is done.
Cool. Yes. We want to see pictures.
Right. We'll definitely post those. So now my second thing that came up, which was... obviously, we only had, two snowstorms, would you say, Barry, of any real notable...
Barely, yes.
Yeah.
A couple inches each.
Well, my driveway is long, like really long from the road to where we park the cars. And I thought, well, I'm going to try and clear the end of the driveway at the road and... Because the car sat too low, I hadn't put the suspension lift kit on it yet. And, you know, it's just easier in general. So I went to fire up the old HS55 Honda snowblower from 1986. And but we had been driving on the snow from the first snowstorm. So the second one showed up, and the first one turned to ice. So, pshing, there goes another sheer pit. I'm like, fuck this. I am done. There's no way I can snowblow this driveway. It's like trying to snowblow a football field.
Mm-hmm.
Which then pushed us to the third story, which was getting Big Red on the road. And my driveway is now plowed.
Big Red.
Big Red is on the road. That happens to be Dr. Kenny's, one of many of Dr. Kenny's little project trucks. That would be a 1999 Dodge Ram King Cab 2500 with a 5-inch suspension and 3-inch body lift kit running 38-inch tires.
Wow.
So, and then we had to modify the shit out of the frame to make the plow fit because it was hanging up in the air. It wouldn't touch the ground. So
that's not a good thing.
Yeah, well, we put smaller. We actually took the 38s off and put 35s on it.
Oh, we lost Michael.
So, yeah, the plow is here.
Ah, nice.
Driveway is beautiful. As a matter of fact, I got to plow out. I got to plow out Rambo tomorrow. I haven't even moved him since the last snowstorm.
Wow. Gee, Big Red. Yeah, Big I got Red. A theme song for that, but you'd have to change his name.
Nope.
Big Red.
Well, we could just add it on the end, Big Red John. Oh, no, wait, okay. That's not a good idea.
Just say Big Red is just Big Red, but he's sitting out here, and it's nice having Big Red out, so every time you think, oh, it might snow, I'll just jump in Big Red, make it go away.
Yeah, nice. And all also, right.
Yeah.
Let's move
I'm
on.
Actually working on another acquisition for
Big Oh, really?
Red. Yes.
What are you working on? Is that to be announced?
That's to be announced, but Big Blue is just like Big Red.
Ah.
So, yeah.
Okay. All right.
You know, you need to turn this into the History Channel and turn it into a new series, Dr. Kenny's Garage.
Yeah.
No, Dr. Kenny's Surgery.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, really.
The Dr. Kenny Project.
Yes, absolutely. We do have some fun times here. I mean, we rhino-lined an entire Ford Bronco just to see what it was like. That was a mess. Let's see here. Turned a, what the hell was that? Turned my little Mazda station wagon into a 4x4 just to see if we could.
Really?
Oh, yeah, years ago. Yeah. And then roasted the transmission and blew it up. No, it's fun. You know, all you need is some scrap steel, a welder, a cutting torch, and a couple of Dunkin' Donuts coffees and some motivation. And you'd be
a
amazed
lot of
what
ingenuity.
You make. Well, there's that too.
Wow.
All right, I'm done.
Okay, so let's go right into entertainment last week. And welcome, everybody, to Entertainment Last Week, where we get to talk about TV shows and movies that are new to us. Doesn't necessarily mean it's new to you, but it's new to us. And by the way, anybody complains about our podcast being too long, I just want to tell you that if you think of it like this, you're actually getting six podcasts slapped together. Okay.
All for the low, low price of free.
Yes. So, yeah, so just think about that. You know, 2 hours is not very long for 6 podcasts. All right. That said, I mean, that's like, you know, lining up the Talking Is Dead channel and listening to them back to back.
We should actually think about trying to monetize this.
Oh, man, too bad we can't make it up to PodCamp Toronto, because I'm sure...
6 for the price of 1.
I'm sure they'll be talking about that. You could learn some things. Anyway, all right, Michael, you're first up.
Oh, Michael?
Michael? We can hear your truck. We know you're there. Oh.
Oh!
Maybe not.
That was too funny.
There he is, Michael. Man. I can hear the truck.
So can I.
Michael, are you there, Michael? All right, Joel.
All righty. Although it's been out for a while, I'm kind of late to the game, but my beautiful bride and I were perusing through Amazon and bought The Martian. What a fantastic film that movie was. Intelligent, entertaining, It's hands down one of the best movies I've seen in years.
And don't talk, don't spoil it, because I won't. Because I have it. We just haven't watched it yet.
You will not be disappointed. Yeah. I promise you that.
Yeah. I don't have it, but I've been wanting to see that as well. That's a movie that sounds rather fascinating.
Yes.
It is absolutely fascinating. And, you know, all the crap to get people to watch movies that they put in, you know, shoot them up, action, bang, yeah, boom, violence, sex, yada, yada, yada. Nope, this actually happens to be a fantastic script that was wonderfully executed by some fantastic actors. It is an awesome, awesome storyline, great movie. I highly recommend it, well, The Martian.
And you know, it was a book before it became the movie, and it was a book that was actually, I don't know, it was developed online. He put it out there online, but it was a software engineer that actually wrote the book.
Yeah?
And he was like, just like, he wrote it as he was a software engineer. He wrote it in his spare time.
Mm-hmm.
And it started picking up online, and people started loving it. And everybody was talking about the book. If you listen to geek podcasts, they were always talking about, oh, you got to read The Martian. You got to read The Martian. And then we heard, oh, they're going to make a movie out of it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, so, yes, I have it too. And I'm glad you gave it a good review, Joel, because now I'm going to... I can't wait to watch it. I got to watch it with Anne-Marie, though, so we got to have a time to sit down and watch it, because she really wants to watch it, too, and she hates it when I watch stuff without her on that. So we're going to make plans to watch that.
Awesome.
And I got to say that the last off Friday, Anne-Marie and I ventured down to Hookset for a matinee showing of the new Star Wars movie.
I am jealous.
And Michael just text, ah, shit.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll come back when he can. But I gotta say, you know, 40 years later, because, you know, we went and saw the first Star Wars in the movie theater. It was a game changer for sci-fi. And I gotta say that this movie... And Anne-Marie is quite the critic on this kind of stuff, and she loved the movie. She thought it was well done. There was enough stuff in there for us older generation people, plenty of stuff for the new generation people. We love the new characters. We think it's a nice kickoff to keep the story going.
Okay, cool.
So it's really good. And there's Michael. He's back.
Hello.
So, and you know, I don't want to do any spoilers or anything, but Anne-Marie did cry when Han Solo had to take Chewie to the vet and put him down. You know, he was the whole scene where he was stroking Chewie as the big needle went in.
Oh, Jesus.
You know. Anyway. No. Highly recommend it. I liked it. Other people, I don't know. I go to movies for good entertainment, fun. And we watched it on the IMAX in 3D. And by the way, I love 3D on the IMAX thing because in this movie in particular with the 3D, they're not making the movie to show you that it's 3D. 3D just helps the movie a bit. You know, it's just one of those side effect things. You know. And they did it well, and I'm liking it. I'm liking it. Awesome. So can't wait for the next one to come out. So, Michael, you disappeared. It's your turn on entertainment last month.
Yeah. And I'm heading towards the Snake River Valley, so I'm going to disappear again. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes? Okay.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Actually, I think I might be through Snake River Valley. Anyhow, yes. So I'm here to talk to you about Jimmer Tegmani and Ruben Sodi. Ruben Sodi. And I'm going right against the actual namesake of the sick, because this is not new and exciting. This is old and exciting to me, and that is brought up by where we were at for the bowling tournament today that we're driving back from, which is Escanaba, Michigan. And for those of you who may not know it, there's a movie written by Jeff Daniels called Escanaba in the Moonlight. If you want to know what the UP mentality is,
if there is such a thing.
Yeah.
This is a good satire on it. A movie called Escanaben in the Moonlight. It's available free on Hulu, or you can rent it or buy it through various places on the internet, or probably get it through the Magic Antenna, even.
I will do a search.
you will do a search. But yes. Any movie that has a main character by the name of Jimmer Negamani from Copper Harbor has got my vote. So,
yeah, there you go.
It's funny humor. It refers to deer season as Christmas with guns. So, what more can I say?
Very good. All right. Definitely going to check that out. All right. Well, guess what? That's going to do it for this episode of Late Night QRM. And as we always say at the end of the show, we want to thank all the military members out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, for doing what you do. And you OCONUS guys, please stay safe. And hopefully you'll get back home here to your family and friends as soon as you can, or as soon as they let you. And until then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. We do have a musical guest tonight. It's the last of my picks. And as you know, I've been kind of going with the jazz theme here. And I figured, okay, this is my last pick. Jazz, one of the big jazz songs that influence us and you hear every week, or every podcast, I should say, is Gordon Goodwin's Big Fat Band. And I said, why not have the pick be the long version of our theme? So, this week, the musical pick is Gordon Goodwin's Big Fat Band with Hit the Ground Running.
Great choice, Barry.
Yeah, so, okay. Awesome. So, with that, from the slightly snowy Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
And from the also slightly snowy south central New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from the knee-deep and fucking snow Tug Hill Plateau, this is Barty.
And from the virtually virtual Youper, who's virtually gone right now on the dark
he's
side.
He's actually gone.
He is Michael in the virtual Youper mobile studios.
And, AKA Family Truckster.
Yeah, we'll see you next time, guys and girls and ladies and gents and all the animals and freaks and geeks and everybody. Okay, so until then, here's our musical guest, Gordon Goodwin and the Big Fat Band. Samson, speak. Good boy.